You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Unexpectedly heartfelt ukulele performance there from Iceland.
It's Eurovision on 95BFM with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams.
On this week's installation of Eurovision, I chat with our European correspondent, Cameron Adams from Berlin, about Ukraine, the Italian elections and wildlife in Europe. I started by asking for an update on what's been happening with the war in Ukraine, or maybe more accurately, what's been going on in Russia.
Yeah, the biggest update of the past couple of weeks has been Russia's announcement of a mobilization. Since we last spoke about Russia's defeat in Kharkiv, Ukrainian armed forces have continued to make progress in the north, as well as continued fighting in the southern region of Kherson. To try and stem these losses, Putin has called for a, quote, partial mobilization. While he states that this is partial and will only aim to muster 300,000 service people with prior military experience, there's actually nothing in the law which states this number. Since the announcement, there's been a much wider net being cast, with men with no military experience being drafted, with Putin today admitting farmers have also been conscripted. These are often from generally poorer regions of the Russian Federation, consisting of ethnic minorities. While the initial claim is that they'd received that they'll receive some weeks of training, there's been some footage already released on social media of men claiming that they've been sent straight to the front. This mobilization has flared some pretty brave protests in Russian cities, with over 2,000 people being arrested for protesting the call-up. Russian officials have denied that some of Russian officials have not denied that some protesters arrested have since been put into military service. There's also been unrest in Dagestan, as well as recruitment officers being burned and violence against enlistment officers across the country, including one who was shot. It's also caused a huge exodus of military-aged men fleeing the country, with fears the borders will be shut. Lines of Russian men miles long have been seen at Russia's land borders with Georgia and Kazakhstan, with Kazakh officials claiming almost 100,000 Russians have since crossed the border this past week. There have been reports today of men being drafted while in line at a Georgian border crossing. I think it's important to note that even though in the West these anti-mobilization sentiments will be popularized, on the whole, Russia will still mobilize hundreds of thousands of men to help in the war and support Russian positions. And even if they are lacking heavy equipment, it will still pose a significant challenge to Ukrainian armed forces to push further into Russian-controlled Ukrainian territory, especially before the coming winter.
And there have been reports that Putin will soon annex the territory it holds in Ukraine. Why now?
Yeah, again, it's to try and stem the losses it's had in the war over the past couple of weeks and to keep the territory it currently holds. So four regions have had a, quote, referendum on joining Russia this past week. Two of them, the separatist Luhansk People's Republic and the Donetsk People's Republic, have been held by Russian-backed separatists since 2014, although Ukrainian forces have since retaken a small foothold in the Luhansk region. The other two are Kherson and Zaporizhia in the south, which were only occupied since the Russian invasion this year and are still not under full Russian control, with the Ukrainian counteroffensive ongoing in Kherson. It's been described as a sham referendum by Western officials, with soldiers going door-to-door collecting votes at gunpoint, and Russian media, even before the vote, alluding to its successes. Preliminary results reported today by the separatists are claiming a yes vote in the high 90%. I saw a pretty memeable video today on Twitter, actually, of an official just repeatedly holding up pieces of voting slips saying yes, but not actually counting it. Western officials have vowed not to recognize the vote or Russian annexation. I think the real fear, though, is that by incorporating these contested territories into Russia, is that it allows Russia to change the narrative of the war to claim Russian territory is under attack. And under Russian law, that permits it to use nuclear weapons. So Russian military doctrine states that nuclear weapons may be used if Russia is facing an existential threat. Putin, in a speech announcing mobilization, stated that Russia can, quote, use all the means available to us, and that it was not a bluff. While analysts say that this is unlikely yet, it does have the potential to escalate. In an interview with the BBC over the weekend, the EU's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, stated the war had reached a dangerous moment and the risk should be taken seriously. NATO chief Jens Stoltenberg has also stated that while the risk of nuclear weapons remains low, there would be severe consequences if they were used. Reports have also come out of American military officials making warnings in private channels to Russian military officials on the severe consequences of any use of nuclear weapons, although it's believed it would be a non-nuclear retaliation, according to a report in the Financial Times.
And Italy had its national elections on Sunday. What were the results?
As expected, it was a big win for the far right in Italy, with the right-wing coalition consisting of four parties gaining 44% of the votes. Giorgia Meloni, the leader of the far-right Brothers of Italy, gained 26% of the vote, and she is set to become Italy's first female prime minister. The other far-right party, the League, dropped 9%, and former disgraced Prime Minister Berlusconi returns to the Senate with his Forza Italia gaining 8%. The centre-left coalition only got 26%, with the main opposition Democratic Party leader Enrico Letta announcing he will soon resign following its poor result. The independent five-star movement, whose no-confidence vote caused the collapse of the previous Mario Draghi-led government a few months ago, got 15%. Turnout was quite low, dropping to 64%, 9 points below the elections in 2018. So negotiations between parties in the centre-right coalition will now take place, with a government expected to form in the coming weeks.
So is this a return for fascism for Italy? What might this government look like, and how has it been received across Europe?
Yeah, the reason why fascism is being mentioned is because of Meloni's policies and her party's history, which we've touched on in the past, although Meloni does deny she's a fascist. So the Brothers of Italy was formed in 2012 by former members of the National Alliance. This was a party that succeeded from the Italian Social Movement, which was formed by Mussolini supporters immediately after World War II. The Brothers of Italy still use the Mussolini-era slogan, God, Homeland, Family. So Meloni, whose party wasn't part of the previous coalition government, campaigned on being a fresh change to Italian politics. However, her party has previously campaigned on stopping immigration, which includes a naval blockade in the Mediterranean to block migrant boats, and also being pro-traditional Italian family and religious values. So if you're queer or one of the 1 in 10 Italian residents who were born overseas, it could prove a more hostile environment. In a speech in June, Meloni stated, quote, yes to natural families, no to the LGBT lobby, yes to sexual identity, no to the gender ideology. There are also fears over abortion rights in Italy. While Meloni has stated she won't change existing laws, the Brothers of Italy, who holds regional power in the Marche region, has already impeded access to abortions in the area. The response across Europe has been cautious. Following the result, the French Prime Minister, Elizabeth Borne, stated that human rights and abortion access are European values. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen stated in response to the election that, my approach is that whatever government is willing to work with us, we're working together. However, quote, if things go in a difficult direction, we have tools. So I think for now, Meloni will be cautious to rock the boat too much. Italy's debt is over 150% of its GDP, so it's reliant on the European Central Bank for support. It's also reliant on billions of euros from the EU and post-COVID recovery funds, which could be held up. And in terms of support for Ukraine, Meloni has expressed her support for NATO and that she will continue to supply aid to the country. However, her coalition partners have been much more fond of Putin. Leader of the League, Matteo Salvini, signed a cooperation deal in 2017 with Putin's political party, and while he claims to be in support of Ukraine, has recently spoken out against Russian sanctions. Berlusconi is also a big fan of Putin, and just before the election was repeating pro-Russian talking points in a television interview, stating that Putin just wanted to replace Zelensky with, quote, decent people. Following on from the far-right Swedish Democrats' win earlier this month, it shows a worrying ascension of the far-right in Europe. Italy is a founding member of the European Union and the EU's third largest economy.
And lastly, there's been a new report on rewilding and wildlife protection in Europe. What's been in it?
Yeah, grey wolves, Eurasian beavers, grey seals and the European bison have seen some of the strongest recoveries thanks to rewilding efforts in the continent. A report commissioned by the conservation group Rewilding Europe looked at 50 European species. Thanks to rewilding efforts and legislation protecting these animals, some wild European animals have been able to bounce back after centuries of hunting or habitat destruction. Rewilding Executive Director Franz Schippers stated, quote, wildlife and nature can bounce back if we make the right decisions. This follows from earlier this year in July with wild bison being released into the UK too, which is the first time bison have roamed Great Britain in thousands of years.
That was our European correspondent Cameron Adams chatting to me in this week's installation of Eurovision.
Macedonia with a reggae twist.
That was Eurovision on 95 BFM.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.